the word of God spoken and preached. And we thank you, Lord, for that word. And we pray that that word would find fertile soil. Amen.
Once it ended, that'll some of them disappear.
Okay. So, Doreen just reminded me that we have a baptismal service here next Sunday. And we thought perhaps we could bring a shared lunch. So if everybody could bring what they would eat themselves along, we can have a time after the service and just have a bit of food together. Now, if you'll just have a word with Doreen about that, so that we don't double up on food, etc. So, okay. So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to take a slight detour from our study on the book of Romans. Well, we're going to have to put it back a week or two, I'm afraid, because we're going to take a slight detour. It's only a temporary one, though. So we'll be back on the book of Romans soon. But, and I blame Derek for this. Yes. You usually find all problems come from Derek. No, not at all. Not at all. He's a blessing. He's a blessing. But it was something that Derek said last week that really spoke to me. And I think we should try and develop it a bit further. You may remember some of the things Derek said. He was talking about end times and about the inevitable persecution Christians will face in the future. He was saying there will be a time when we, as Christians, have to decide whether we take the mark of the beast. Now, I know for some people, they can get quite anxious about that. Will I or won't I be able to resist the temptation to take the mark of the beast? However, the truth is, God is able to keep us from falling. He said to the disciples in Matthew 10, verses 19 to 20, and that's page 975 in the Church Bible. So speaking to the disciples in Matthew 10, page 975, he said this: "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So, God is able to keep us from falling away, and he will be close to us and enable us to make the right choices when we're under persecution. And let's face it, it's only by his grace we can stand in that day of testing anyway. However, it is wise to prepare ourselves by making provisions and taking action now. I think that was the essence of your message, Derek, to prepare now for what is coming down the road. Here's a question for you, though. Do you get a sense the end times are really coming? They're really close. Do you grasp that prophecy, the times and events predicted for thousands of years, are unfolding before our very eyes today? and that the Lord's return is soon. If you sense that, why should you not get a sense of that? Because is part of what we're feeling now the fact that the one we love is showing us he is coming soon. He is at the door and giving us a sense to prepare for his arrival. I think that's what Jesus is doing now in our hearts. He is saying, prepare for my coming. The amazing thing, though, is the compassion and patience of God. For time and time again, he gives us a reprieve from the inevitable. He gives us more time for more to come into the kingdom of God. More time for us to prepare. More time for us to wake up before the inescapable will happen. And as his word says, he is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This thing of God delaying it, giving us more time, is a continual thing. Now, the banking scandal that we're seeing at the moment is just one example of this. Banks and financial institutions have been closing people's accounts for years. They've been doing it for years. And if you held views that didn't fit with their so-called values, just one example of this recently, the Reverend Richard Fothergill, who is an Anglican minister, had his bank account closed because he made his views known on homosexuality and transgender issues. When responding to a questionnaire that the Building Society sent out to him, he had his account closed because he didn't fit with their values, just by speaking the truth of Scripture. These places are closing bank accounts, Building Society accounts, down for all sorts of reasons. It could be your political viewpoint, or even who your friends are, or anything in your past. It took Nigel Farage and the accusations made about him, however, to bring the whole grubby affair into the light. Isn't that amazing? He didn't use the Church of England or Justin Welby, who should be speaking out about those things. He used a non-believer, Nigel Farage, to break it. And isn't this the way of God? If he doesn't find a willing heart, he will use a non-believer to expose things. So we know that our institutions have been taken over by this woke and liberal ideology. It's just another sign of the end times are coming. We know we're heading for a cashless society. It was interesting the other day, you know, Julie had a bit of spare cash and we were walking out of Sainsbury's and there was a guy there collecting for the homeless. And so she went up and offered him a bit of cash. He said, no, I can't accept any cash. It will have to be a bank transfer, or give me your card and I'll put it in the system, but I'm not taking cash. I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, this...
taking cash now.
Yeah, this was a homeless organisation and they weren't taking cash. We know as well that our children are being indoctrinated at a young age by a godless ideology taught in schools. I could go on. We know all this that's happening today. It's amazing, really, though. We know all these things. But how are we, as Christians, preparing for it in the here and now, today? We make all sorts of arrangements, don't we, in this life, for potential events that are going to happen. The selling of funeral and cremation services now to the over 50s is big business. You see it everywhere on the television, don't you? I heard someone the other day, an athlete, saying he was up every morning at 5 o'clock training to prepare for the Olympics, which is 3 years away. What are we doing about preparing about something we know is going to happen and happen very soon? So this morning, I want to look at 8 things we should be considering in preparation for the inevitable. Things we should consider now that will make us stronger when the persecution comes our way. Firstly, we should not be passive. We are, you know, so often. We should speak out, stand up against this woke ideology all around us. We were once a Christian nation. We cannot say that anymore. Where has it all gone? We are all victims of our own inactivity, especially those in the church. For years, there has been an erosion and a discarding of our Judean Christian values in this country. The Christian church, and especially the state church, has capitulated. Rather than being confident, it is embarrassed about the gospel message. A vacuum has been created that was once occupied by Christian morals and teachings in this country. But what's happened is the vacuum has been filled with all these liberal and godless ideologies that have corrupted our schools, our governments, and our institutions, and are holding us all ransom to propagate this nonsense. We must speak out. We must stand up. Martin Niemöller was a German pastor during the Second World War. And after the Second World War, he had a great number of regrets. And into his later life, because he didn't stand up and speak out more than he did, especially about the Jews. He said this: firstly, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So firstly, let's speak out. Let's not be passive. Let's be bold and stand on the truth of the gospel and stay true to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he did not give us a spirit of fear, or timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. If you don't like the Costa Coffee emblem depicting a character with their breasts removed, write to them and tell them and boycott their coffee shops. If enough of us do it, they might get the message. Secondly, we need to persevere where we are and in the situation that God has put us in. There's a real danger, you know, when these things come upon us, when we see what's happening in our world, we just want to give up and be with the Lord. I've heard people say that recently, and it might be understandable. But I would say to you, be very careful wishing yourself out of the struggle in this life. God has put you here as light and salt in the world. You have a purpose to fulfill. Don't go wishing your Christian earthly life away. If you're taken out, it will mean another light has gone out here on this earth. The world loses a bit more of its saltiness. No, be thankful you're here on planet Earth at this time. He will give you everything you need so that you can do what you are called to do. That's the second thing. Let's continue to look at how we can prepare. And I'm going to reel them off. It may be just one thing speaks to you. We can't do them all at once anyway. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Perhaps the most important thing we need to do in preparation is to get closer to God, to Jesus. Now is the time to deepen our relationship with God so that we are rooted in Him and our feet are solid on the rock. Amen. Of course, in doing that, we should do the obvious things, like getting into God's word more and praying more. It's a fact in any relationship, the more time we spend with someone, the closer we will get to them. But I want to just highlight one thing this morning in this area of relationship, and that is to go deeper into God and build our relationship. We have to include Him in all things. Psalm 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." In all your ways acknowledge Him. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." In every situation. Here's another scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 34, 31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Whatever I do? You mean when I even eat and drink? Yes, this is what God wants, to be involved in every area of our lives. We have to get away from putting God in compartments, a Sunday slot, a prayer slot, a quiet time slot. We can stop our busy schedules and become more aware that God is with us in the here and now, anywhere and in every situation, and pray a silent prayer and acknowledge him there. It will be good if we can prepare and practice for this, including God in all things, because when we're up there, we will have complete, uninterrupted worship and fellowship of him in eternity. Why not get ready for it now? Fourthly, we need to get closer as a fellowship, as a church. When the persecution comes, we will need the support of one another. I would say it is wise that we get closer as a fellowship and as a church now. I think that means building relationships with one another. I'm talking about practical things. Going for a coffee with somebody. Phoning people up. I know during COVID, we weren't able to meet for large periods of time. And we started the prayer partners up by phone. Just to keep in touch. What a great way to support one another. So I would say to you, have a think how you could be doing more to build relationships up for those with those around you. I think it will stand us in good stead. It will be so important when that persecution gets more difficult. We will need one another more and more. Fifthly, we need to get rid of the high places in our lives. I'll repeat that. We need to get rid of the high places in our lives. What do I mean by that? It always intrigued me, you know, when I read about the Old Testament kings. You would get an evil king who did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then occasionally you would get a good king who followed the ways of the Lord and did mainly good things. However, regarding these good kings, this was said about them. I'll give you a couple of examples. 2 Kings 12 verses 1 to 3. That's page 381 in the church Bible. And then another king in 14, 2 Kings 14 verse 3. That's 383 in the church Bible. This is what the word of God said about the good kings. So 2 Kings 12 verse 1. It says, in the 7th year of Jehoah, Joash became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada the priest instructed him. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. And then in 14, 2 Kings 14, verse 2 to 4, in the 2nd year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father David had done. In everything, he followed the example of his father Joash. The high places, however, were not removed. High places were places of pagan worship, usually on mountains or hills. They did it to bring them closer to their false gods. They were, in fact, places of idolatry. And the Jews and the nation of Israel didn't remove them. This was the greatest time of compromise for the Israelites, because they worshipped Yahweh God, the only true God, but they also worshipped or put up with false gods as well. And for us, the word idolatry conjures up images of primitive people offering up sacrifices to carved images, doesn't it? But an idol is anything. An idol is anything we praise or fix our worship and attention on, and something we look to for help and comfort rather than the true God. Jesus says to us, we cannot serve both God and money. And we're told in the Bible that greed is idolatry. We have a responsibility to topple all the idols or high places in our own lives, and only to give Jesus our full time, attention and devotion. The fact that these great kings didn't worship God alone should be a sober reminder to us. I would say to you, keep away from anything that might share God's place in your life, because it's an idol. Now is the time to remove the high places in our lives, the idols in our lives. For they will do us no good at all on that testing day. In fact, it will be a snare for us. Somebody said this: the human heart is a factory for idols. And I think that's so true. There's always something brewing up in the heart to give praise to give honour to find comfort from. We can always find something other than the true and living God to fill our hearts. And they're very subtle, you know. I think I shared with you some time ago where I was a very keen football fan. And I supported Birmingham City. I don't say that on a regular basis. So I've been through some struggles with that. But anyway, football for me and supporting the Blues was something that became, I couldn't sort of watch them play. I could listen to bits on it because I get so nervous, and I'd always look for the results, you know, and I'd look for the players, etc. And God said to me, it's an idol. It's taking your attention away from me. I gave it up. I gave it up like that. When I realized that this was drawing my attention away from God. And if you look at the background of a lot of football, certainly with Blues, there's a lot of aggression there. You know, the Birmingham fans hate Villa more than they'd rather Birmingham win, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of hate, aggression. And I was caught up in all of that. It became an idol in my life. Look at your own life. Is there anything that takes your attention away from worshipping the only true God, giving you comfort other than God? If there is, it's an idol in your life, and you need to get rid of it, and get rid of it now. Yes, exactly, Matthew. I think that can be. Number six, do you need to be more frugal? Do we live a frugal lifestyle? Or do we like our luxuries too much? Now is the time to streamline our lifestyles, because the day will come soon that if we are just able to get the basic essentials, it will be enough. Derek told me of the days he and Hazel used to live hand to mouth, but God always provided for them. We have too many comfort blankets in our lives today. Is God saying to you, go back to a basic, simple lifestyle? Here's another one. Are you addicted to anything that you don't want to or can't give it up? I know I joke about my bounty bars, but for me, I do find I have to have a chocolate bar every day. And I do like a glass of wine now and again. Now, look, that's fine, in balance. Yes, that's right. I think maybe that's the way through. I don't want to be a killjoy, but it's not good. It's not good as Christians to be addicted to anything, that there's anything in your life that you can't give up or give over. If that is the case, it has power over you rather than you having power over it. It may be good, and I've done this quite a number of times, to give something up that you really enjoy, so to speak, for a period of time, just so you can regain self-control over that. God doesn't want us bound up with all sorts of things. He wants us to exercise self-control. That's another area. Another, number seven, how do you spend your time and money? Martin Luther said, show me where a man spends his time and money, and I will show you his God. Are we putting our time, our money, and our energies into God's kingdom? Or are we caught up in the material world? We have to decide what a luxury is and what is a necessity. It's not that money is evil, but the love of it is. And God will hold us accountable for how we spend our money. It would be wise if we were storing up treasures in heaven now by supporting ministries that forward God's kingdom, and also be like the faithful servant, using our time wisely until he comes again. About being busy about our master's business. When he comes again, we need to be found to be busy about our master's business. And finally, we need to reduce our dependence on other things, and especially on the state. I was thinking the other day, you know, that nearly every one of us is dependent on the state through pensions, through benefits. We may also be dependent for medicines through the NHS. I don't know a way around this. But if the whole thing comes crashing down which it will, how would we survive? We have to be thinking about these things, you know. It's teetering on the edge. When it comes crashing down, how will we survive when we are so dependent on the state? It's a difficult one. But we should be looking for ways to reduce our dependence on the state. Now, when I say reduce your dependence, we have to tread carefully here. I have known people who have felt they should give up treatment for cancer, for example, and just trust God. And yet they haven't been healed. You have to be sure about this. It's between you and God. It can be right in the right context, but we need to hear that personal word from the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be confirmed by others. We shouldn't do these things lightly, give things up lightly, especially if you're on medicine. We need to do it in a considered way and a prayerful way and with the help and counsel of others as well. That's the final thing. I'm going to leave it there this week. So in conclusion, I've touched on a number of areas. It's up to you to say if any of these things apply to you. The Holy Spirit may be putting his finger on other areas in your life. However, the key and the most important thing here is to be prepared, to be ready, to put your house in order now, so that you can look forward for that great day of the Lord. As it says in 1 John 2:28, it says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." Amen. Shall we pray, folks? Father God, we come before you. Lord, we are your children. Thank you so much that you have put us in Christ and all the assurances that brings to us, Lord. We get a sense that your presence is near, Lord, and we want to be ready and prepared for when you come again. So, Lord, I would pray for each one of us. Show us what we may do to prepare ourselves, to put our house in order. Lord, speak into our hearts as we commit ourselves to you. We know that we can only stand because you enable us to stand in the blood of Christ. And we know that Jesus will always stand by our side. But Lord, you do tell us to be ready. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.